And then you look out the window and you realize there is an alpaca herd that is running across right underneath your room. And my two daughters just, we could not, we had to check their luggage on the way home to make sure they were not trying to smuggle a baby alpaca. Few places make for an epic journey like the experience of visiting Machu Picchu. Leisurely discovering Peru's diverse ecosystems from Lima to Cusco into the Sacred Valley and adventuring all the way to the top of the 15th century Incan Citadel. There's no better way to take this bucket list journey than with Belmond. Known for creating awe-inspiring experiences, Belmond not only offers the most luxurious hotels every step of the way to explore Peru, their Hiram Bingham train is the most sought-after way to take the legendary climb to Machu Picchu, ascending the mountain over Pisco Sours, five-star dining, and live entertainment, while the Andes' lush peaks knock your socks off out the window. Recently, I took the grand tour of Peru with Belmond, visiting four of their unique properties and riding the luxury rails. I started at Rio Sagrado, a lush paradise nestled in the Sacred Valley, and then took the train to Sanctuary Lodge, the only hotel at the entrance to Machu Picchu. Ascending further to Monasterio, Cusco's former monastery-turned-luxury hotel, and finally came back down to sea level, to the beaches of buzzing Lima, where I fell in love with Belmond's Miraflores Park Hotel, overlooking the surfers, stunning architecture, and eating my way through Lima's super-hot foodie scene. If we've met over a glass of wine lately, you know I can't stop talking about this trip. Over 10 days, it feels like you cross seven continents. This is Peru. Every corner of this unique country is so very different. My guest today is Erica Toro, Director of Sales for Belmond Peru. She oversees properties as diverse as the landscapes of this stunning country, and all with a tremendous sense of place. Welcome to the podcast, Erica.
Hello, Jenny. Thank you very much. Thank you for this opportunity. Good morning, everybody. I'm happy to be here and to talk a little about Peru.
My trip was just one of the most amazing journeys I've ever taken in my life. To let our listeners know how this all came about, you and I first met last December in Cannes, France at ILTM, the International Luxury Travel Conference. And a few months later, I was on the ground in Peru. And by the time I made it to Lima at the end of my trip and you and I met for coffee, I was positively smitten with Peru and the experience I had at your Belmond properties. Where are you right now?
Well, I'm in Lima right now. I'm at the Miraflores Park, a Belmond hotel, but with amazing view of the ocean here. And even when the winter is starting, the sun surprised every afternoon here with amazing sunset and a very nice view from the top floor of the hotel.
Let's start off discussing Peru as a destination for families and couples, because your hotels, I feel like, really sort of uniquely deliver so many different elements to a vacation, whether it's, you know, a couple going or if it's a family journeying down to kind of discover the destination.
Well, if we talk about the destination, I think you explained like perfectly what was the surprise of Peru. Peru is a diverse country, you know. It has a lot to offer since the amazing culture, the history, the Incas, the past, the food that is very awarded here and nature. And all our hotels like fit perfect with the place where they are located, you know, trying to show a lot of authenticity and the sense of place. And if I have to say about families nowadays, Peru become to be like more popular for families and to share the experience in each destination. If I have to choose one property, I would choose Rio Sagrado for sure. For me, it has the real sense of place of the Sacred Valley, where the adventure starts, and it's perfect for families. No, there is a lot of activities to join at the valley or at the hotel, or what about? And I'm sure your experience with your family, feeding the baby alpacas here or taking a picnic in the our gardens, no? And I think it's a lovely place to start with the adventure with a family, no?
Yeah, that's it. You actually, you hit it exactly on the head of what I was going to talk about, because, you know, as you know, we started at Rio Sagrado, and that journey, even as you're driving into the property, and you're in the Sacred Valley, you almost feel like you are in a completely different world. And then you get to the entrance to Rio Sagrado, and it's so peaceful, yet so joyful. That was the one thing that I remember being there, waking up every morning, because you have, you know, the river rushing by your rooms right in front of the great lawn on the back side of the property. And then you look out the window and you realize there is an alpaca herd that is running across right underneath your room. And my two daughters just, we could not, we had to check their luggage on the way home to make sure they were not trying to smuggle a baby alpaca, because they were so cute. And just the whole herd and the way that you can, you know, the feedings are in the morning and the afternoon, and you can, which I think we hit every single one, every opportunity to feed an alpaca, we were out there. It is so peaceful. And we did do that, the picnic in the afternoon. It was just one of those moments when you're in this really stunning place and it feels like you're in your own bubble here. And we did, we saw a lot of families that were there when we were there, and it was just such an amazing experience. We did our visit up to the villages from there, actually, to meet some of the Quechua people. And I think that's just so well added to the experience, and just being able to really engulf, you know, all of the culture of the region, I felt like was at Rio Sagrado. I mean, the spa experience, my daughter and I had an incredible massage there, and it's just, you hear the birds chirping and it's just so peaceful. It's such a perfect way to start your trip. After that, we took the Hiram Bingham train. Can you talk a little bit about that, that experience? Because, you know, taking that train, it actually leaves from Rio Sagrado, correct?
Yes. During our summer season, the Hiram Bingham train departed from the door of the Rio Sagrado Hotel. And this is make it easy to join the train or the trip to Machu Picchu. If we talk about this train, it's definitely a luxury experience. As probably some of you know that the way to visit Machu Picchu is by train, the Hiram Bingham experience, it's definitely a luxury experience. No, it's a journey to enjoy, to discover, and just to like relax at and enjoy the vibes of the train. No, and as well the train. I think the kids love the trains. You know, and I think this is a great experience going to Machu Picchu. Also, it offer like all amazing food. And nowadays, the gastronomic in Peru is very well known, and this is something really important for us. Entertaining on board, I guess you, Jenny, enjoy the party that is on board with the musicians. And all of my colleagues that are make like the experience totally different.
Yeah, it was, I think my only complaint about taking that Hiram Bingham train was that it was too short. I mean, even though it was an almost, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours to get up there, we did not want to get off. I mean, it was because, you know, even just the welcome and when you're exiting back down from Machu Picchu, you know, you have tea at the hotel before you go, and then everyone gets on the train together and you have champagne, and then you get on the train and you sit down, and it feels like, you know, you step back into time, because the actual setting on the train is so beautiful and the staff is so amazing. And then you sit down to this 5-star dinner, and in between you're popping up and going into the entertainment car. And it's like you open the door and all of these people are dancing and having pisco sours, and the band is there, and it's just the lushness of the Andes and the river rushing by. And it's just, and so you look out the window and you really can't believe that you're experiencing this. It's just, it's really just an epic journey that everyone I think has to take. And at the end of, you know, our journey on the Hiram Bingham, you come into the town that's just below Machu Picchu, Aguas Calientes, and you have to take these coach buses to actually get up to the top. And then you get up to Sanctuary Lodge. So let's talk a little bit about Sanctuary Lodge, because it is the only property, the only hotel property that is at the gate of Machu Picchu. And it has such amazing history surrounding it as well.
Yes, what can I say? This is a hotel that is located on a sacred area, a sacred mountain, which is the Machu Picchu mountain. No? As we said, it's in the shadow of the lost city of the Incas, in front of the entrance to Machu Picchu, that makes you like a different total experience visiting the citadel, no? Once that you come with in the afternoon with the haraming, and you can make the visit with our guides into the citadel of Machu Picchu, and then you just can relax at the hotel in this oasis of calm after this exploring date in the citadel. No, the hotel also provides amazing like food and mm-hmm. and a different relaxed experience doing different ceremonies. Like for me, the best one is the shaman ceremonies that we call the Pachamama, and it's an offer to say like thank you to the Mother Earth. And we have these traditional mystic ceremonies that we can also offer at the hotel. And also, you can continue with the experience to Machu Picchu, waking up early in the morning to do our first light experience and doing some hike up to the Huayna Picchu mountain.
Yeah.
You did it?
When we did Machu Picchu that afternoon when we got up there, the pictures that you see are, while they may be amazing, they do not do it justice when you are standing at the top of the Andes and you walk out there. And, you know, these are images that sort of sear into your brain because you can't, it's just so incredible. It's like having a jungle at 8,000 feet because there's orchids everywhere. I mean, they're just the lushness of everything, but you're at the top of this peak in the Andes. And I think most people don't think about that when they think about Machu Picchu. That area is just so green, and you can come out in the morning like what happened to us. You know, we came out in the morning and it was raining, which makes sense because it's so lush. We did do Huayna Picchu. And for those who don't know it, it's the cone-shaped mountain that's in the background of all of the pictures of Machu Picchu. I did that hike with my two daughters in the morning, my daughters are 6 feet tall and amazing athletes, thank God, because I think their biggest fear was that I was going to fall off the mountain. we did that hike. And what was so amazing is we woke up at 7 in the morning because the Huayna Picchu, you know, they only sell obviously a limited number of tickets to hikers every day. And you have to go through Machu Picchu again to get to the entrance to Huayna Picchu. And you sign this big book when you go in, so they make sure that you come back down at the end of the hike. But it was raining during our ticket time. And I said, are you guys ready to go? And they looked outside and they said, Mom, it's pouring rain. And I said, okay, let me go downstairs to the front desk and see what we do. And one of your staff grabbed an umbrella, ran outside in the pouring rain, and went out to the entrance gate for us and asked if we could move our ticket time back so that we could still experience the hike. And I just, you know, when they came back in and I had, you know, he was completely covered in rain and he was drenched. And I thought, that's service. Like that was just, there's a guest at the hotel that, you know, that this is the first time we've ever been to Machu Picchu. Some people, it will be the only time they ever go. And, you know, this gentleman was just amazing. And so we still got to do the experience because of him. And some of those, the pictures that we were posting on Instagram, I think are the ones that have been like the most shared, because that hike up to Huayna Picchu, we look like we are walking on the edge of the world. It is so dramatic between you're in the cloud forest. And so these clouds are moving in and out around you and you look down. Thank goodness we had a lot of cloud cover the day that we went, because I think had we been climbing up Huayna Picchu and been able to see straight down below, it might've been a little scarier, but we made it up and back, and it was just one of the most amazing things we've ever done. And then of course, when you come back down, you go back through Machu Picchu. So that day was just one of the most memorable of my life. And so then we took the train back down into Cusco. And because we were staying at all of the Belmont hotels, you know, our luggage went straight from our hotel in the Sacred Valley to Cusco. As you ascend on up into Machu Picchu on the Huron Bingham train, you cannot take your luggage with you, which most people also don't know. You can take a backpack. which is kind of freeing. But then we ended up at Monasterio, which your Monasterio Belmont property just stole my heart. That place was just one of the most fabulous, restored religious places. Can you talk a little bit about the history of Monasterio?
Yes, for sure. If I had to talk about our Monasterio, I could say that it's part of the history in Cusco that uncovers some of the secret of that time. Well, this was an ancient monastery from the 16th century. So all the original, the architecture is completely original, as it used to be at that time. And for me, like a state at the Monasterio is like come back to the past and live the history from those days because you feel it, You feel like you are like standing in a museum, no?
Yes.
We have all this art collection totally original from the 16th century, no? And it was for that time for the aristocratic families in the 16th century. So it was something that really wow to have someone, no, to be or neither nuns or monks. And this was part of the Monasterio. And we have the Monasterio, one of the like oldest property was Belmont in Peru. It has 22 years with us. Mm-hmm. And it's still incredible, amazing, and surprised us with all the history.
Yeah. And Cusco itself, I think many people don't know that, and I think our guide there was explaining it to us when we were doing our Cusco city tour. It's like the Vatican of South America. There's so much religious history there, not only the Incas and Spain and the way that they melded those two together, because the from what I understand, the Spaniards, converted a lot of the Incas into Catholicism, but they still embraced a lot of the Incan culture. So you can see in the churches and the chapel that is on the grounds of Monasterio, which I didn't get to see until the morning that we left. It was difficult for me not to cry as I was standing in there because it's right on the property and it is so beautiful. It's like you're standing in a huge cathedral somewhere in Spain. And it's such a little hidden secret on that property that but the artwork on the walls, I mean, all the rooms are also different because it was a former monastery and the way that the decor is and the art and the, we had angels over our bed. It was just, we were only there for two nights and I white knuckled it out of there because I wanted to stay as long as I could and just go down every single hallway and see every inch of that space. So it just means we'll have to come back. What a beautiful property that has been so lovingly restored by Belmont. And you also have another property next door called Palacio. Can you talk a little bit about that and how the two properties are different?
Yes, of course. Well, Palacio Nazarena, it was also a reformer convent, but it was a convent from the 18th century, more or less. What we do with these two properties, so Palacio Nazarenas is more contemporary, is the only one hotel with outdoor heated pool at more or less 11,000 feet above the sea level. It's more intimate, more like retreat with only 55 suites, and it's a beautiful hotel. And just to mention like the difference, so the Monasterio, for me, it's like show you a Cusco of the past. Mm-hmm. And Nazarenas show you a Cusco of nowadays in a more contemporary way, but you feel that you have all the sense of place of Cusco City. Mm-hmm. So we have the two properties in a different style. Both are amazing, but it's just the difference depends on what the clients they are looking for. Mm-hmm. More of the history or more Cusco of nowadays.
And they're right next door to each other, which is wonderful because we were able to use the spa in Palacio Nazarenas, which was just transformative. My daughter and I went over and had a massage next door and got to kind of peek around the property and see it. And it was just they are such a great combination to have right next door to each other and so well located in the city to be able to get around. We walked to dinner down onto the main plaza and it was such a beautiful couple of days there because of those two properties. And after that, we then went back to Cusco Airport and then descended down from 13,000 feet into Miraflores Park, a Belmont hotel, which is, if people haven't been to Lima before, which is sort of the entry point going in and out of a lot of the places in South America, you come through Lima. I was shocked because it was totally unexpected for me. And you and I were laughing about this over coffee. I felt like every place that I went in Lima reminded me of a different place in the US. It was such a diverse city. And coming into there, my first thought was, it almost looks like Santa Monica because, or Malibu, because you're on the cliffs looking down and then there's surfers beneath you. It was so shocking. And the hotel has such a beautiful perspective of all of that because you're in Miraflores. Can you talk a little bit about the location and the city a little bit?
Yes. Well, Lima used to be in the past, just the connection city to go to Cusco. But since like the past probably 8 years or maybe a little more, it become to be more and more important because it's the gastronomical capital of South America and the food is more well-known. And now I think Lima is a must of the trip to Peru. And we have the Miraflores Park, a Belmont hotel with the best location. It's located in the sophisticated district of Miraflores with an amazing view of the ocean, but not only the ocean, part of the city as well. The hotel is an all suite and it has a great experience regarding the food in Tragaluz, one of the restaurants at the hotel, which is the trendy restaurant in Lima, no? That it's a foodie city.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You know, not only is the hotel, you know, beautiful and occupies such a great position, I know that it's also a really famous stopover for some of the celebrities that come in out of town. We won't talk about who was there. There was somebody that either, I think, had just left when we got there, which my girls were kind of super excited about, but it is the place to stay in Lima. The food scene was just also so surprising to me because who knew that Lima has, you know, two of the top 50 restaurants in the world are in Lima. And, you know, there's a third, I think, that's about to be named that, you know, Central and Maido are two of the top 10 of the top 50 that are in Lima in the world. And then Central's husband and wife team of chefs Virgilio Martinez and Pia Leon have Central, which is the number 4 restaurant in the world. And then she opened Cajole, which we got a chance to try when we were there. But what a surprise. I don't think people think of Lima when they think of all of these great gastronomic experiences, but we loved every moment of it. I mean, we ate our way through that city in the 2 days that we were there. We were all over town and it's such a clean, well-ordered city. You had sent us over to the Barranco neighborhood too, just to go walk around and experience sort of that bohemian chic vibe. It's such a surprise. And I'm sure living in Lima, you've experienced a lot of these great foodie places.
Yes, indeed. Lima it's a foodie city. And for us, with the Limeños that we live here, yes, everything is based on food and restaurants.
Yeah, and a lot of it locally sourced from the different regions of Peru because you have so many different ecosystems that the chefs have so much to work with. So they can get really creative on their menus because everything grows right in Peru. That was the end of our epic journey with Belmont. And I will never forget it. I feel like everyone that walks into the door of our agency here in Houston, I always say when they say, where should I go next? It's Peru is rolls first off of my tongue because our experience there was just so eye-opening. And it's really such a great entry point to come into South America. If you've never been to South America for the first time, doing Peru because of the direct flights that come from the US into Lima, which is the entry point to get into the country. It's so easy. And I think people don't realize that we're on the same time zone right now as Peru is. So it's nice to be able to just take a 5 or 6 hour direct flight into Lima and then start your journey with Belmont, discovering, you know, all of Peru has to offer. So there is one question that I want to ask you in closing, because I want to learn a little bit more about you. Back in before I started Well Travel Techs, and I used to have a travel blog called Travel Genie, which was a play on my name and a famous American television show called I Dream of Genie. And Barbara Eden played a genie in a bottle that would grant three wishes to whomever let her out of her bottle. If you could be stranded on a desert island or up in Machu Picchu or on a mountain pass somewhere in the world, all alone with no phone, where would it be? And what are your three wishes that you would want to bring with you? What are you eating, drinking, or reading, or who's coming with you? And, you know, just give me a little peek at what would be going on in your mind.
Okay, what a difficult question. I think I will prefer kind of the desert island, my running shoes, just to discover what to do and to walk around. Or I cannot forget one book from maybe Ken Follett.
Yeah, Ken Follett, I love him too. That's so funny. And I forgot that you are a runner. You just ran a marathon, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I did a half marathon recently. And yes, if you can run everywhere.
Yeah, I do agree. I feel like I bring my running shoes everywhere I go. The best thing I think when you're in a new city is to put on your running shoes and see the city as it wakes up in the morning. Well, Erica, yes. Thank you so much for being on the Well Travel Texan podcast with us. I'm such a fan of Belmont, and I know that Belmont has properties all over the world, and they do, I feel like, in every place that they are, really represent the destination so well, and your service is legendary. So I want to thank you for being such a great partner with us and enabling me to be able to take this trip with my family and discover Peru, because it's just a journey I feel like every traveler needs to take, whether they do it alone or as a, you know, with someone they love or with their family. I feel like Peru offers so much for everything, and Belmont makes it so easy to forge a path up to Machu Picchu and to see all of the amazing areas of Peru. So thank you so much for being on the podcast with us.
Thank you, Janie. I'm here to help to discover this amazing country with the beautiful Belmont properties that we have here.
If you'd like more information on any of the properties we discussed, take a visit to our website at welltraveltexan.com and click the Contact Us button and send us an email.